Got a question or comment? Need savvy travel advice? Connect with Rudy, Robert, and Mary anytime on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at RM World Travel. Now, back to RM World Travel.
Welcome back to RM World Travel. I've got to tell you, I have had an especially great week this past week, in large part thanks to a new book that kept me laughing out loud, I must stress, written by my next guest. He's part of our The Right Stuff segment. You'll meet him in 1 minute. Meanwhile, I need to tell you this. This segment of the show is sponsored by Casper.com. Now, can you imagine taking a car on a 100-day test drive or getting a pair of new shoes and having 100 days to walk around and feel how comfortable they are? Well, that's what our friends at Casper are doing, giving you 100 nights to test the Casper mattress in your own home with their 100-night sleep challenge. The Casper mattress has a unique combination of foams that provide the right pressure relief and alignment so you feel perfectly balanced and comfortable. It ships for free right to your door in a how-do-they-do-that size box. And don't sweat it. If you don't love it, they'll come pick it up for free and give you a full refund. You got nothing to lose. When the choice is to test a mattress by actually sleeping on it for 100 nights in your home or going to a store and flopping around on a dozen dirty mattresses used by God knows who for a few minutes each, oh, that sounds terrible. Getting a Casper is a no-brainer. Take their 100-night sleep challenge now, and when you go to Casper.com, Casper with a C, by the way, like Casper the Friendly Ghost, use the promo code RM3, you'll save $50. There's also a link to the radio show website under sponsors at rmworldtravel.com. Jeff Stewart is a London-based lawyer, a solicitor, to be more precise, who has spent 25 or so years specializing in cases involving intellectual property, sports, and competition law. But not long ago, he took a sabbatical for a couple months to tour America, a journey that resulted in a wonderful book, the one I just mentioned before I read the commercial, called In Search of Nice Americans. Now, his quest was to jog every morning and kick his habit of drinking Red Bull. He didn't quite succeed at either of those goals, but he brings a uniquely English eye and a wry sense of humor to the American landscape of places as diverse as Alaska, L.A., Charleston, and Nashville. Mr. Stewart, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I've got to tell you, to start, that as a writer, you're what my London-based granddaughters would call quite clever. For example, this passage comes to mind, and I quote, this is you writing, "There are many American cities I would not like to live in. St. Louis, for example. I have a friend and former client who lives there, but if I live there, I'd have to learn how to enjoy Budweiser, not least as they are my former client. Much as I love visiting New York, I couldn't live there either, as I'd have to learn how to jog every day. Portland's a nice place, but Nike is there, and I'd have to learn how to be constantly upbeat and motivational. Sooner or later, I'd crack and have to insult someone," unquote. Now, for a lawyer, that's a pretty funny passage.
Thank you, although I have to say that is sourcing a lot of the clients that I've acted for. They're all places that I've had to visit through work, so I have got to know them fairly well. And one of the reasons that I embarked on this in writing the book was actually to rekindle my love of Americans, because dealing with American lawyers all the time does give you a slightly skewed view of Americans.
Mr. Stewart, I was a journalist in Washington, D.C., an investigative reporter for 20 years. I know about lawyers. And you share, your book shares my, you know, the gimlet eye that you have is, I share with you. Now, you've got four children, two of what you call spare children, or two more that you call spare children. Can you explain what a spare child is exactly?
Spare child is, because we have these quaint traditions, no doubt you do in the States as well, but in the UK, I'm not married to my current partner, but I live with her and her children. But I can't call them stepchildren because we're not married, even though we've been together for 10 years. And it's just a fun title that I came up with for them years ago, calling them my spare children in case anything happens to my genetic children.
Now, you are clearly a student of movies. You were in a band as a youth, and you traveled in America while you were traveling. You picked your destinations partly in search of sights of famous movies, especially Tom Hanks films, and in search of good music. You were quite taken with Nashville, weren't you?
Oh, Nashville was my, without doubt, my favorite place that I visited in the States. I mean, what I've tried to do in the book is weave in a lot of popular culture and obviously stuff that's appealed to me over the years. But Nashville is a place I'd always wanted to visit. I tried to go there 25 years ago before I started work, when I took a gap year. But I didn't really know what I was doing traveling around the States. And I had one of these Delta Air passes where you could fly anywhere as long as there were seats available when you got to the airport. But I didn't know about this little holiday that you have over there called Thanksgiving. And I turned up on Thanksgiving trying to get to Nashville and couldn't get anywhere near it, no flights. So I've been waiting for 20-odd years to get to Nashville now. It's changed a lot, apparently, in that time. But Now, as a music fan, it's obviously it's a bit of a mecca, and it lived up to every expectation. And the people there are so friendly and warm and welcoming. No, it without doubt the highlight of my travels around the States.
What is it they said every time you said thank you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Every time you speak to anybody, every time you speak to hotel receptionists, restaurants, even members of the bands that you're tipping, whenever you thank them, they reinforce how grateful they are for your service with an absolutely. And I just find all that stuff charming.
Charleston was another favorite of yours, even though a couple iconic items from Forrest Gump and Midnight in the Garden of Evil, the Good and Evil, the movies, had gone missing. What is it about Charleston that so attracts you? It's a hot, humid place, beautiful city, but very hot and humid, and you're not used to those in your parts of the world.
Certainly not used to it. It's actually not far from Charleston. It was Savannah.
Savannah. I'm sorry. Exactly. You're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, which is, it was a great term, but it's a bit of a shock to the system, to a Brit, to be in a place that is that stiflingly hot, where they have to grow trees so that you can live in the shade. Literally, I mean, there's just live oak everywhere so that you can spend time in the shade. But again, for a Brit, it's not that surprising enjoying somewhere like that other than the climate, because it is very colonial still there. You know, the buildings, you can see a lot of British influence there. And it's largely unspoiled. I mean, it looks as I would imagine it would have looked 150, 200 years ago. And it's got these great movie sites, and I'm a big Tom Hanks fan, and I play on that in the book when I'm joking about where the nice Americans are. Obviously, you've got Tom Hanks, who's probably the nicest man on the planet. So I was quite keen to follow some of his great sites. But of course, when I got to Savannah, they'd gone, a number of the sites had gone. The bench that he sat on for the box of chocolates speech at the start has gone because it was getting graffitied, which is a huge shame. The fountain from Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil has also gone because it was getting graffitied. But despite that, you know, it's a very well-kept city. I'm doing injustice by talking about graffiti, but fabulous place to visit.
Well, besides your distaste for the current state of American politics, and British for that matter, and a particularly obnoxious American during your time on board a small ship in Alaska waters, what did you find? I know, and we'll end this on a positive note, because I know you really enjoyed Americans. You found nice Americans. You include your trip. But what did you find disappointing besides, you know, a couple movie iconic pieces that weren't there when you arrived?
The reason I went to the States is because I do love the States, and I've just over the years, unfortunately, just been going in and out of hotels through work. So I just wanted to get back into the wide open spaces again. And I can hand on heart say there's nothing disappointing about the trip. Some of the people I met were interesting, and I have fun at their expense in the book. But one of the reasons that I wrote the book, and one of the reasons that particularly was published over here in the UK at this time, is because, you know, it's nice to have some good news stories about the States with all the political situation there. There's a lot of very negative press, particularly in England, about Donald Trump. So it was nice to be able to just put the record straight a bit and say, look, these are great people. It's a great country. Forget the politics. And it's a wonderful place to travel.
I want to read one more passage. When I told listeners that I laughed out loud, and this is one of them. You were in Costa Rica at the end to just have a little sort of rest after touring America, and you were taken at night to see the turtles, a particular mother turtle laying her eggs on the beach. And you wrote, then after the eggs are buried under the sand, and I'll quote you, the mother returns to the sea, but she'll never return to the nest. Her hatchlings will be on their own now to survive or perish. No feeding them, no teaching them, no transporting them, no swimming lessons, no paying for their schooling and their mistakes. It's an attractive alternative parenting model that I'll implement when I eventually establish my cult, unquote. You are a very clever writer. And how did a lawyer become a clever writer?
Well, I guess, I mean, it's part of our craft, really, isn't it? I mean, comedy isn't. That's just something I've always
Yes.
enjoyed and studied. But writing and precision of language is very much part of our craft. So, yeah, there's not much editing required when lawyers write books, according to my publisher. They like having lawyers who are authors, because we do have that. We're very pernickety with our language, and there's a real precision in our drafting.
And you found some imprecision in English as spoken here in the former colony, didn't you?
Yeah, not least the order in which my name is arranged. It still surprises me that people get my name wrong. My name is Jeff Stewart, Christian name Jeff. surname Steward, but I keep getting called Steward by Americans. I don't know if Steward is a name out there, but it's certainly not a Christian name over here.
Right. Well, speaking of grammar, that first sentence I read at the top of the interview, there are many American cities I would not like to live in. I would have done, if I were your editor, there are many American cities in which I'd prefer not to live, instead of ending with a preposition, Jeff. I'm just saying.
That's disgraceful. Thank you for pointing that out. I'll have a word with my editor.
Jeff Seward is the author of a new book you've got to read. It's great. It's called In Search of Nice Americans, and Jeff's last name is spelled S-T-E-W-A-R-D. Mr. Seward, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure.
We'll be right back.
Today's edition of RM World Travel is coming right back. And you can also stay connected with the program at rmworldtravel.com.